This is what I feel, the story of Gaia. It feels like a privilege when I read this book, because what Jude has done is effectively taking us into the vibration of that creation, using the container of science and words we probably don't often use and we have to sit with our dictionary for a few minutes, but never mind. Do it anyway, please, because we need this. We need this.
Hello, I'm Julie Kroll. You're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Each week we gather right here to make connections that break through the illusion of separation. Welcome. Your journey of conscious evolution continues right here, right now. We live on a conscious living planet. What does that mean to you? During this Conscious Planet series, we've explored topics like wholeness, unity, indigenous wisdom, and humanity's evolution. Today, we're going to look at Gaia in a more personal way and invite you into a real personal relationship, maybe even friendship with Gaia. There are two women who intimately know Gaia well and appreciate her relational aspects, from direct communication to personal and planetary healing, from sacred ceremony to co-evolutionary partnerships. These two women, one of them is my co-host, will help you deepen your communion with Gaia and encourage you to reimagine your personal relationship. I invite you to take a few conscious breaths, bring your awareness to your heart, relax and open your mind, and settle into your essential wholeness as I introduce our co-host and guest. My co-host, Dr. Jude Kervin, is a cosmologist, planetary healer, futurist, and author of the best-selling and award-winning book, The Cosmic Hologram. Jude is also the author of The Story of Gaia, which has inspired this Conscious Planet series. And our guest, Mira Michelle, is the founder and director of the Sacred Female Rising Institute. She is a modern medicine woman, shaman, speaker, and author of Sacred Eyes Your Life, The Ancient Art of Ceremony Meets the Contemporary Age. And I love this quote right off of her website. Our individual personal medicine is intrinsically connected to earth medicine. Welcome, Mira Michelle.
Welcome, Mira Michelle. It's so wonderful to have you as our guest today.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to this. I started prepping for this show days ago, and this morning it was so clear that Gaia was inviting us into this personal relationship conversation. So I'm really looking forward to see what transpires during this time together. But this Conscious Planet series is part of the Dr. Julie Show, Mira Michelle, and you know you've been here. I have a traditional first question that I usually ask my guests. And with your relationship with Earth and being a modern medicine woman and shaman, I'm wondering today what all things connected means as far as this conversation with us today.
All things connected mean at first that we feel. We simply drop in to feel. And then we drop deeper. And we remember three important parts that help us to realize why we've come here. And that is, I am the earth. She has birthed me forth. I feel my feet upon this earth. Ooh. I am the waters as she has birthed me forth. Water in my body, water all around me, water as creation. Ooh. And last but not least, Dr. Julie, as you have said, I am the thing that is connected. I am that thing. I am that creative thing. And I love putting that thing on there because it just helps us to let go and stay out of the ego. And the egos are fun and give us a lot of laughter and a lot of tears, right? So I am the earth. I am the water. I am that thing that is connected.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, it reminds me, I'm just going to continue this question before I turn it over to Jude for an opening question here, Mira Michelle, because I'm just curious how your relationship with Gaia began. Like, how did you develop such a deep, enduring respect and appreciation for Mother Earth and Gaia? And where did this intrinsic wisdom inside of you, how did that get catalyzed and brought forth in your relationship?
Okay, in 2 minutes?
Good question. No, really expand. I think this is an important part of really setting the tone for this conversation is your own personal relationship with Gaia, and perhaps we can ask that too.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to start with my English grandmother, Mary. I spent a lot of time with her as a child in Winchester, right? And she would take me by my hand and she would say, nature is my church, right? And let's walk down to the weir and by the water. And hence we would. Very simple woman, right? So she's really an English rose, a proper Mary. And that opened up spheres inside of me, which of course were not recognized as a child, only that I enjoyed walking with my grandmother. I enjoyed feeding the swans, which we're no longer allowed to do, so I don't suggest doing that, but we did. And it continued, and it was for me quite apparent as a child that I had a sort of perspective that other people around me noticed. That child is so perceptive. What is she seeing? She's putting us on edge. What's going on with that one, you know? And that was always a part of my dream that I was dreaming. And as I became older, I was constantly led to connection somehow, right? And meditation started young, connecting with people in that more heart way and with the senses came young. And then I had a challenge because my mom's English-Irish, right? My dad's African-American, Native American, Choctaw, and Blackfoot people. But for some years, I couldn't merge it. It was like I was living two lives, right? So when I was in England with my mom and the family, I wasn't quite English enough. Do you understand? And then when I was in America with my African-American family, I was also the oddball. And I walked with uncomfortable feet because there was something inside of me that somehow didn't feel like I belong. And that hurt, right? That was very uncomfortable. And then I remember, I think I was like 24, and I had chosen to leave and go somewhere completely different where there are no family relations, right? And one day I was by Mother Ocean after newly arriving at that place. And I felt my heart and my gut like almost throbbing, but the tears couldn't relieve themselves yet. And I was trying to get an intellectual understanding of what it was that was aching inside, right? And I fell on my knees and I looked at Mother Ocean. And it was I think the first time that the whispers of the mother turned into a real conversation, like at 24, you know. And I was like, and all I could do was try to get breath inside my body for a moment, right? And then the tears gushed out and gushed. I can feel it right now. I have goosebumps all over. And she said, I'm gonna cry. She said, you are my child and I am your mother and you belong to me. And I felt my arms literally went open, And it didn't feel like anything separate from me. It felt like me, actually. And it felt like that, a sort of thatness. And I went, oh, yes, I do. You're right. Yes, I do, I said. And thank you. And thank you. And I went, you know, I felt like a little ant, and I was grateful to feel like a little ant, because this feeling of humility empowered me, felt empowering in that moment, very deeply empowering. And after that, I would call it an ultrasensory experience. I would call it an inner and outer body experience all at the same time. And after that, I never again felt like I didn't belong to something or someone. Yeah, I knew there was a knowingness. There was a deep knowingness, even though it would take me another 10 or 15 years to keep reading and studying and writing to begin to cognitively understand what was being transported.
Beautiful. What a beautiful introduction to Conscious Planet, too, for the listeners to just really hear about that personal relationship and how it began. Jude, I'm going to invite you in here.
Well, I'd love to ask Mira Michelle, your relationship with Gaia is so profound. How do you sense her consciousness? Because the relationship that you're describing is one of mutuality, is a one of love, is a one where, you know, your love for her is supported by her love for you. And our series is our conscious planet. So how do you, if you like, sense her sentience in that sense? That's a biggie.
That's a good question, and I could answer it with, that's a biggie. In a way, I could answer it like, how do I not? Like, once the doorway starts to get open, we are living doorways. Right. I have many questions for you, also both of you, on my list. We are these living doorways, right? There's like millions of doorways around us. If you want to say that we could perchance focus ourselves and allow to open and feel. Like if I walk in nature, I'm sensing all the families around me, all these sentient beings around me in their little flat family clusters. And it's so energizing. It gives me energy. And I sense that through that reception. Now, a tree, it may be different, or water. So that's how I've trained myself as a seer and a conscious participant in creation. So I don't get overwhelmed with how much I'm feeling at any given moment. And then we have to train ourselves to close those doors and windows at certain points too, or we get a little bit, you know, overwhelmed with all what we feel. And I would, at some point, as we continue, love to dive into that more so we can assist people with how much they're feeling and how much they're not feeling. Because too much feeling is an issue, and not enough feeling is also an issue. So, yes, I feel like she's trained me. She's really assisted me and giving me real tools to sense and to walk with her. And she wants us all to feel empowered. And she wants us to be open enough. These are her words now, which Julie mentioned when we opened. Let's hear from her. She wants us to be more in presence, and more in presence in her, let me say, her grandness, in the grandness of it all. Sort of like a presence with awe, an awakening rolled into one, that we can begin to feel again what that is, because that separation of feeling is really what's taking us out of what Jude said in the book, the perennial wisdom, this amazing perennial wisdom, which we really do actually kind of desperately need, really. And to wake up and get and to become more reverent again for what we've got here.
Yeah, beautifully, beautifully. And I'd just like to sort of I'd love to know from Julie, and then I'd love to share my own sort of sense of relationship with Gaia as we move deeper into this incredibly felt, embodied relationship with her. So, Julie, I'd love to hear your journey of that sense of relationship, and then I'd like to share some of my own and see how we interweave, because I sense, hearing from Mira Michelle, that we've come quite different paths to this point, but we've all come to this point of deep, deep loving gratitude for our relationship with Mama Gaia. So, Julie, mm-hmm. over to you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. this is fascinating, because as I was listening to you, Mira, and I was thinking about my childhood, and I was thinking about the contrast. And so I can't wait to hear Jude's. But as a very precocious young child who became a young mystic, I felt like my early childhood relationship was more with the cosmos, like something bigger out there. And it was almost as if I didn't develop that relationship with Gaia early on. And literally was like this disembodied person living here and really didn't want to be here on this planet and didn't understand humanity and humans. And so my early childhood was not a connect with nature, listen to nature, communicate with earth. Like, it was more of, hello, take me home. I'm ready. Let's get out of here. I don't want to be here. I'm just trying to put into words the developing relationship with Gaia, which is really interesting. It's like, when did it begin and where is it now? I could probably go backwards in time, but as a young adult, I remember the first real communion with Gaia was on a mountaintop, like literally a vacation to the mountains, the beautiful stream, up a certain altitude, the ecosystem was so different, and I could feel her. Like, I could just begin to really feel the pulse of Earth herself, and the communion and the communication began. And it was like, I began this appreciation thinking I had to go back to the mountains. Like, I have to go back to the mountains. I have to go back to the mountains to feel that, to experience that. And I had this love of the mountains. And it began to slowly transform in my 30s of an understanding of that was Gaia. It wasn't the mountains. It was where I first experienced her. But then I could go to the ocean. I could go to local lakes and forested areas and our river that runs through my state, and my relationship with the ancient sandhill cranes began. And it was like, oh, this is whole. This is the expression of Gaia herself. And I can create this in my own backyard. So it transformed from this majestic experience of a mountaintop experience to feeding the birds and creating gardens and putting in water and a beautiful water feature and a koi pond in my own backyard. And then it evolved really slowly and not as instant as you, but it was like this slow awakening, because I was so focused on more of the other dimensions and the other realms that I wasn't aware of this realm and this dimension that is just right here, right now, all the time. And so thanks for asking that, Jude. I'm really happy to have that experience in lifetime of sharing it that way, because I've never thought about it before. I know, and I'm going to ask Mira a story about the story of Gaia and the book. I'll ask that after you share, Jude, because I think that ignited something new inside of me. And I think it has for you too, Mira Michelle. So I'll go there next. But Jude, I can't wait to hear your story.
Well, I took longer, way longer than either of you, because for me, it came back to growing up in a very loving environment, very sort of, I was daughter of a coal miner, granddaughter of a coal miner, a very close community of miners in the north of England with not much money, but a lot of love. But then my dad died when I was 10 years old. When I was 4 years old, I, like Julie, I was walking between worlds. I was out there in the cosmos. I had very little embodiment of that in that sense. You know, I was having all sorts of wonderful experiences, but they weren't grounded. They weren't in communion with Gaia. I wouldn't even known that word then. And when Dad died, I too wanted to get out of here. I felt alienated by being here. But I think the most important aspect was my heart started to close down then. As I grew up, I had other experiences. My mom was amazing and wonderful and unconditionally loving. She was like my anchor. She and my little brother were my anchors, because without them, I don't know what would have happened, because I certainly didn't want to be here. And that continued through my, not just my teens, but my 20s and my 30s and my 40s. And it was only when I was in my 40s and I moved down to live in a wonderful place, which is not so far from Winchester, Mira, called Avebury, which is an incredible ancestral and sacred landscape that I came to love profoundly, that something began to happen. But I was still in my own sense of my own journey. My heart was still closed down. But a time came where clearly spirit and Gaia, I'm sure, said enough's enough here. You know, enough's enough. And so everything I thought I needed just fell away. And there came a moment, it turned out to be a moment on Lake Titicaca. And in that moment, I was connecting with an ancient artifact multidimensionally. And when I did, my heart literally burst open. It was as though I was an egg that had been cracked. And I, thinking that I'd held my heart safe through all those years, I realized I'd imprisoned myself all those years. And when my heart cracked in that moment, that began the journey of love for Gaia, because I could love. I could really begin to love. And that journey has continued. And I love Gaia. I mean, in the story of Gaia, which I know I could not have been privileged enough to be gifted the opportunity for it to write through me, I knew that that moment, you know, when my heart cracked open, was that journey to now, and it's an onward journey. So that sense of reverence, of love, of joy, of gratitude, of her being our primary mother and gifting us all we have to have these incredible earth walks, is something that until that moment just wouldn't have, you know, been something I was really aware of even. So when you said what you said, Mira, and what you said, Julie, it was like, yes. And I'm just grateful for now. And even with all those years where I was not, I know it was still meaningful each moment of that journey, because when the awakening came, it came in glory. It came in the most gorgeous, grand, intimate, joyous, ongoing journey of love. Oh. So now I'm crying.
It's so beautiful. Thank you.
Wow. She presents herself, doesn't she? Yeah, I love that. You opened with that too, Mira. And I saw some like lights in your eyes as Jude was speaking as well. Many people have had a real personal experience with this book, The Story of Gaia. And for me, Mira Michelle, I literally began feeling the thousands of years coming through me. Like it was like this personal relationship. And I've said this on a couple shows. I like fell in love with bacteria. Like it was like, yes, she's my friend. Like I love bacteria. Like there's so much about this book that I love. And I know you mentioned that you've had lots of hits and downloads and intuitive sparks while you were reading the book. This feels like a really good time to invite you to share more about your experience of reading the story of Gaia and what that did for you, and especially with this foundation of understanding our own relationships with Gaia. I think that would be a beautiful place to really bring this in. What was your experience of reading this book?
Well, thank you for asking. I mean, I'm excited. When I start to read this book, I don't want to sound ridiculous, but my mouth starts to water a bit because I get so excited of what I'm going to find out next. And for me, it's like, I already know. And I don't mean to sound like a big head, because it's not, it doesn't feel like that at all. It's like on the other end of the spectrum of big head, you know? Because I have, let me share it this way. I have a dear brother has 2,000 year lineage of healing. He's the Maori. And during my journey of awakening to this planet, I've had so many ultra experiences and deep experiences and going deep in the earth. And oh, I just could go on and on about some of those experiences, which science had to really help me with, where I would have thought, what the heck and how and what is this now, you know, sort of thing. But I had a wish. It was a soft one. It wasn't one I had to really go after, you know what I mean? I had a wish to live the sacred bond of connecting through the third eye with a Maori brother or sister. Since I was kind of younger, I just had an affinity for that. And one day it came and I met this brother, and something happened during the transmission of his work, because we were in Europe, we were in Germany, and the German people who were attending his cultural talk couldn't feel him. Couldn't get it, because he was so deeply grounded and embodied, right? And he was speaking straight. Wow, we have a big sign happening outside right now. Oh, blessings. Oh, about 8 Gaias, massive birds circling right in front of the window in the way that they do intuitively. It's happening right now. So blessed be Mama for speaking to us as we're speaking to you. And I was the bridge to help this understanding go from one to the other. And then when it opened, the whole room opened. And after that, he came to me, this amazing brother, and offered me the traditional Maori greeting, which he hadn't offered to anyone at that point. And I was like, yes, please, I would be honored. Thank you. And we continued. And it was minutes together with our third eyes connected. And I could feel the transmission going on, but I couldn't really say, I couldn't see the pictures in the moment. 3 nights later, on the third night, of course, on the third night, I had a dream. And it was a journey dream. And I was a seed. I had become a seed in the earth, and I could feel myself as a seed, and I could feel all the surroundings and all the energies and all the micronomes and the mycelium networks and everything all around me. And my whole body was buzzing in this dream. And then the seed awakened and began to grow. And that was really something, a big, big trip, you know, what it felt like in my body. And it was like, I was eating the earth, because I was the earth, and it was in my mouth, you know, and all around me. And then I came up out of the earth, and then I was looking at all this, and my heart was, and then at some point I just woke up, and I was kind of sweating and feeling very different and very, very grateful. This is what I feel, the story of Gaia. It feels like a privilege when I read this book, because what Jude has done is effectively taken us into the vibration of that creation, using the container of science and words we probably don't often use, and we have to sit with our dictionary for a few minutes, but never mind. Do it anyway, please, because we need this. We need this, really. We need that sort of depth and level of coherence with this creation. Because I feel like now where we're at, we need to use the vehicle of the mind that can drop into the heart to be able to more deeply realize just what we are through the creation of what is. And I have to be honest, I haven't finished the whole book. I haven't finished it, because after I read a chapter, I'm like downloading, inspiring. It's helped me to realize some of the way in which I move with Gaia, the way in which I realize her if I'm working ceremonially on the grid or with certain energy lines, and certainly even energy lines that haven't even been spoken about yet on our planet. You know, she's telling me, do that and do this and do that. And then sometimes I just do it and I don't really get it. And then I read this and then I'm like, oh, I think that. And then intuitively I'm being said, yes, that's a word you can use for that. You see what I mean? So it's altogether a very round experience. And I feel that perhaps after I've read, like, I'm like halfway through now, I need the other half, then we could speak even more forward about specifics. But when it's time, and I'm finishing now, when it's time, I have a couple of specific questions about the great Om vibration.
Thank you, Mira. One of the things I know you'll have already been feeling into, and Julie, for all of us, is that the subtitle is The Big Breath and the Evolutionary Journey of Our Conscious Planet. So one of the things that really spoke to me and sang to me, including that primordial Om, which we can speak of, is this sense of the entirety of our universe from that very first moment, 13.8 billion years ago, as the first moment of an ongoing big breath. So as space has expanded ever since, as time has flowed forward, you know, that incredible evolutionary arc of our universe. Because what I realized when Gaia invited me to write this story, her story, I speak at the beginning that our stories don't begin with us. They go back to our parents and their parents. As a species, they go back to as far as we have any memory of or we can measure. And now, of course, it goes to the beginning of space and time themselves. And instead of that chaotic big bang, which wasn't big and wasn't a bang, it was this incredibly fine-tuned, intentional, meaningful, purposeful, I love this word, effulgence. Grander of this wondrous universe where Gaia was already dreamed of from that first moment, where we have our story beginning in that first moment, you know, where the hydrogen in our bodies is as old as the universe, where the waters that we were talking about earlier, most of the waters within us and within Gaia are older than the sun, are older than soul. This amazing journey. And I'd love to ask both of you, how do you feel after reading or partly reading the story of Gaia and this sense of the big breath? In other words, the universe breathing through us and Gaia breathing through us as we take each breath. And of course, in ancient India, the Vedic sages called breath prana, the same word for spirit. Whoever wants to go first.
Jude, that I'm going to start. I'm going to jump in here. It's a beautiful question. And I, like I mentioned with this book, I literally felt that 13.8 billion years. Like I felt that inside my body. I was having this mystical experience with Gaia herself. And I love this idea about that big breath and it being ordered and simple yet complex. Like literally, and I you know what? I've intuitively felt that in this lifetime, in this body, in this work, in what I've called, I've intuited that sense of order from the get-go and this deep trust in creation itself moving through us, and have felt intrinsically part of creation from that perspective. So the big breath just is like, yes. And then here's this big exhale and the movement toward greater complexity, and yet this complete trust, this complete faith in the order, in the evolution itself, that we're not in this horrible, scary place of, oh my gosh, look what's next. But if we can come into the acknowledgement of change and transformation, the acknowledgement of evolution consciously, then with that breath and going back. And I love how much Mira Michelle, you use breath, like you're all about the breath. So I'm looking forward to your response too. But that 13.8 billion years is all a part of this continual breathing, rhythmic movement toward that greater complexity and order and meaning. There's meaning in that as well, that it brings me into that place personally. So I can go into my relationship with life itself and creation and then trust in that next, okay, we'll take the next breath. What's this next expansion of me? I literally, Jude, you'll probably really appreciate this and know this about me, but Mira Michelle and listeners as well, I've been going through a complete transformative process again of like letting go of one office space, clearing out, letting go of so many energies, and almost a newness, like I'm showing up for this next evolutionary turn for me. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I know there are pieces coming in. I know there are people and relationships and invitations that are presenting themselves. I have no idea how that's going to manifest, but I go into that breath and that breathing cycle and say, okay, what's next in that next big evolutionary spiral? So I'm there, and I really get that prana piece of it moving me into my next best evolutionary spiral. So yeah, Mira Michelle, how about you?
Oh, I am just swirling and in love with your speech, sister. Thank you for sharing that, what is personal also, because that is, wow, as I'm getting a big hit. I feel Gaia all around us so strongly, so paying attention. She pays attention as we pay attention. And she's looking. And believe me, she can pay attention inside these walls, a fellow human race, fellow human Gaians, right? Oh, it was such a relief to read about the big breath. Just put it that way. And I sense for a long time, as you have spoken, Julie, that there wasn't a big bang. And a few years ago, science basically came out and said there wasn't a big bang. We know that. But what was that? And now we know. And it feels so deeply connected to my breath. When I read that, right? And when the breath goes deep, deep in the body, right, all the way down to our root chakra, and we begin expanding, the heart begins expanding, and oh, because we have this universe inside, right? And that's how we can experience the universe inside, or we can astral project and experience the universe all around us, right? It's holding our beautiful blue. That when I read some of these words, honestly, like even when you were speaking before, Judah, just I have emotional waves of such deep gratitude, and I have emotional waves of the awe of to be honored to be a part of this journey, to know that 13.8 billion years had the purpose of creation. And I will say something which may be a little bit alarming. However, I need to say that is this, that my darlings, my dearest beloved human family, look at this technology of what we are, right? And let us please move forward into not taking for granted what we have experientially. And I feel that this book does a really great job in, we just need the information and feel connected to that information, that we can expand in that and really stay grounded with that. And if I were to stand up with the spirit grandmothers that walk with me, and so many others, the spirit grandmothers are really teaching me about Gaia. Now, shut up, sit down, don't say anymore. You know, as a good spirit grandmother, just feel, breathe. Don't talk, don't think. Okay, grandma, that's what I'm doing. Humility. Look at this. Push all else aside, all else, and take this focused moment that we will go through this transformational process. This book comes at a wonderful time that we're all going through deep transformational processes. And if you are doing that, then thank you so much, because it's needed. Every single human being, every single soul, universal, Jude, brilliant, needs to feel that they are so worthy and so important as the creation that they are. Really. And I want you, if you're listening to this, just record it and listen to me saying this 20 times over. You're so, so, so valuable. And it's so important that you're here. And it's done by design, right? And that's what this book gives to us again and again and again. Because it is consciousness, and it's, as Jude said, purposeful consciousness, yes. Right? So let's all get into our big, deep breaths.
Or right here, right
tonight,
now.
Yeah, right. Tomorrow night, after you listen to this, with us right now.
I love that. And Jude, thank you for that question. I'm going to set up a quote from your book by just sharing with the listeners. You write about ceremony. And in there was a beautiful quote about nature and how nature shows you its intelligence and it communicates. And so you gave us some personal examples in the book. And it led to this one sentence that I want to read to you, because I think this is really important. And we're talking about the transformation on the planet and trusting and where we're at. So this is perfect timing to bring this in. You wrote, and this was after some examples of connection, you wrote, "Ceremony has also informed me of what the earth and its people need to flourish and thrive in these times of incredible change." So Mira Michelle, what does the earth and its people need to flourish and thrive right now?
To realize the vibration of what we are, and to realize the vibration of what Gaia is. And this connection is our very lifeline. And to take it like that, to sit and focus, really, like there's no other moment around us. That in that moment, that becomes ceremony. And that we cannot actually really perceive what all of this is unless we can sit in that vibration. And Gaia will continue to take us the next step, the next step, the next step. And that is why the answer for me that we can continue to flourish and thrive on this planet is ceremony. And I will dare say, ceremony without enhancers. And I respect the plant medicine very much. But the plant medicine, I speak very much to the plant medicine also, and what the plant medicine says is we are here to put you in the driver's seat, actually, and your consciousness and your access to your sensitivity, because human beings are built to know, well, that's that timeline and that's that timeline. We have all of the skills. We have all of the abilities, right? If we want to go into those realms, if we want to go into psychedelic realms, we can just order it and go there, right? If we want to go and skip dimensions, we can do that. We don't actually need the enhancer. It helps us to open those fields, but we can develop this. And this is what Gaia has supported me to develop. So we really do come back to the resonance. If you are in the sacred vibration, you're thinking completely differently. And your body is registering so much freedom and peace that I think we are like, is this actually happening now? You know, no, we all know that from when we're in ceremony. So the vibration, my darling, that is the most noblest of answers that I can give. And when we read Jude's book, we realize that the frequencies and the vibrations and the perfect, almost intricate millisecond moment that it showed up to is that our impulse can change from one millisecond to the next to take us into the frequency.
You know, as I do write about, everything in our universe is vibratory, is resonant, is essentially harmonic, you know, and that's why, you know, we talk ourselves being on the same wavelengths. You know, we have so many metaphors that are musical, that are wavelength, that are frequency, but they're deeper than that. They're who we are. They're how we express our earth walk, you know, how we relate with each other. And very early on, you asked about the Om. And one of the things that I really love is that our universe at that first moment of the big breath, when it was the most tiniest and simplest, just about to embark on this great journey of evolution, it was so hot but very ordered that it wasn't transparent to light, but it was to sound. And so literally, as again the ancients speak of, our universe was sung into being. And for the universe, that primordial Om lasted 380,000 years. And it began to shepherd the earliest of matter and energy vibrationally into what would become hundreds of millions of years later stars. But it began as it's continued. It began as it's continued, you know, with music and harmony and vibration and wavelength and song and innate relationship. So I just love that sense of a continuing song, singing us all into ever greater possibilities of conscious evolution. So thank you for raising that sense of vibration and as the fundamental nature of our reality and the heartbeat of Mother.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Amira, Michelle, this would be a good opportunity to follow up. If you had that question about the Om, I would love to hear that, or any other questions. We just have a few minutes. If you had some questions for us, so I'm going to turn this over to you to follow up on that before we close here.
Oh, thank you, sister. I want to say is also that I want to start with this one. Hold on a second. Look, this is setting you up. This is connecting you to the birth of the universe and this this little baby right here. Oh, wait a minute.
Nice.
You can't see it. That is giving you some practice.
I just want to bring words to that for those who are just listening, which Mira Michelle just said, here is the book, The Story of Gaia, which is like the information and the, it's so good stuff. But then your book, Mira Michelle, on Sacredize Your Life, which is the practice, which is coming into ceremony. So two beautiful books. Thank you for holding those up. So yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. The story of Guy, this is page three, right at the beginning. It was not a big bang, but when I started to, the big breath, but when I started to read the book, it was like a big bang in my heart. So I just, this was really, really sat with me. The story of Gaia extends the definition of what's usually been called life, right? That was a sentence that Jude wrote. Inclusive of organic entities, it expands the meaning of living and being alive to the multidimensional consciousness and multiple agencies, entities, and sentience embodied in our planetary home and our entire universe. Okay? So let that sink in, maybe have some warm fuzzies going on. And I wanted to answer that as from my medicine woman perspective, is that when I became a medicine woman and I could go off on that one, like we're all medicine women, actually. However, when I officially allowed myself to say I walk as medicine woman, which was a big deal, the realization was the interconnectedness of all life on so many levels. And it's intricate. It's very extremely intricate. And that's why I enjoyed the book so much, The Story of Gaia, because I love to sense those intricacies in life and in the creation of our universe, which I'm intrinsically, as Jude stated, connected to. We all are. And one of the first real powerful medicine earth intelligences and entities that came to visit me was Spider Woman, right? And Spider Woman is honored in many Native American Northern cultures as the energy that created the first web, right? She looked at me and she asked me, what do you see? What do you feel when you feel this primordial vibration of life? And my answer to her was a lot of what Jude has written in the book, the sacred geometry, right? This vibrational hologram around the matter and the material, which Jude wrote about so well in the book, and how that was created. That was crazy to read that. Crazy exciting, you know? And the spiral and the cycles, the circles and the spirals as the containers of the activity, which has the urge to create.
Well, very, very briefly, but, you know, geometries, There's an ancient tradition of teaching called the quadrivium. And the quadrivium is based on number. And it speaks of music as number in time and geometry as number in space. So the ancient cosmology was based on this meaningfully informed, number-based, musical, geometrical outpourings of consciousness. So when we now look at leading edge science, we're essentially revaluing, rediscovering, yes, taking it onwards, but nonetheless, our anchoring, our grounding is in those ancient traditions. And of course, indigenous traditions of the web of life, which is innately interrelated and dynamic and living. So the story of Gaia really is also an honoring of all of those who've been before us, that thank goodness that we're now valuing and honoring their wisdom. And hopefully with them, I feel the ancestors are coming forwards, actually. It's almost that we're not going back to them. They're coming forwards to stand with us on this bow wave of evolutionary potential. And so as we link up and lift up, as Julie and I talk about, and light up and level up together, we all go forward together. And for me, the ancestors at every microcosmic, sentient holon, co-creative holons of our entire universe soul. So what an incredible moment for us, and what a great privilege for us, and what a wondrous invite for us, all of us, to step together to come forward.
Oh, Mira Michelle, I'd love to hear all the rest of your comments and all the rest of your questions. And we have to bring this beautiful conversation to a close. But I also look forward to hearing your feedback when you do finish that book and how it sounds like it's really impacting you and your work in the world. So thank you for joining us and sharing your incredible wisdom with us here today. Thank you so much.
And your book is truly wondrous. I love it. I walk in its steps of practice, because what you just shared was so vital. Our relationship is through the breathing, it's through the singing, it's through the dancing, it's through the ceremony, it's through the experiencing and embodiment of that relationship that you embody and you share and you write about so incredibly beautifully. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, sisters. It has been a deep honor to be here and for us all to speak with and for Gaia.
Yes. So this is perfect. I'm going to leave you with the words of Mira Michelle from her book, Sacredize Your Life. We are indeed one earth and have one people, and nothing can or will change this reality. I see that each original culture had its own authentic and empowering ceremonies to connect to their environment and to the intelligence of the natural world around them. Perhaps it's time to bridge the ancient to the present. I like to call this the ancient future. It's just what Jude said. So thank you all for joining us today. I'm Julie Kroll. You've been listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. This is part of our Conscious Planet series with co-host and author, Dr. Jude Kuravan. Thanks for joining us today. And remember, together, we are creating connections for the good of the whole. Until next time, we're sending you a world of love. Bye for now. If you enjoyed the show, go to your favorite podcast platform. Remember to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, please consider supporting The Dr. Julie Show at patreon.com/allthingsconnected. When we each give a little, we all get a little more. You can stay in touch with me at juliekrollemail.com. Thanks for listening.